Two scripture texts I'd like to read for you this evening. You could read along if you wish in your Bibles. The first is Matthew 22:34. Matthew 22:34-40. And then I'll also be reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Matthew chapter 22:34-40. And then we'll be looking at Luke chapter 10. Let's hear the word of our God first through the Gospel of Matthew. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Then from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, starting at verse 25. Let's hear again the word of our God. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself to Jesus, asked, 'And who is my neighbor?' Then Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, and he came and looked down and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So when he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine, he sent him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. Whatever more you need to spend, I will come again. I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for the wondrous gift of your word and pray in your mercy you would give us ears to hear and understand. We pray in your mercy you'd send forth your spirit with your word to do its good work in us, especially tonight encouraging us in the work of evangelism and deepening our love for you. We pray that you'd be with your servant, guard his mind and tongue, that he may only declare that which is true according to your word. And as your word is set forth and reflected upon this night, may your name be exalted, and may your church be strengthened. In the name of our Lord, we ask this. Amen. We talked this morning a little about what is the Christian message, and we saw it's the good news of great joy that God has sent Jesus Christ, the Savior, to save his people from the penalty, the power, and the very presence of sin. It's glorious news. It's news that ought to be shared. We learned that this morning, that the shepherds, after hearing that and appropriating the message to themselves, having come to Jesus and seeing him, they told everyone else about him. They shared to others what they had heard. Why should we? Why share the gospel? Well, there's lots of things we could talk about and consider in it, but I want to especially focus on the two passages we looked at and how they bear upon the question of why you should be sharing the gospel. Now, by sharing the gospel, I don't mean why every one of you should be called vocationally as an evangelist. Not everyone is called that. Not everyone has that skill set. There is a special calling of being an evangelist that God sets people aside to do the work of an evangelist. But the work of evangelism is given to the church to do as the church. We are all to live evangelistically. It flows from who we are as the people of God. And I want to show you that. and give you what I believe the Scripture teaches is the great motivation for sharing the gospel with others. As we look at the two texts that we read, we see Jesus summarizing the gospel in one, and the gospel being summarized by someone else who came to Jesus in the other, both summarizing it the same exact way. When Jesus speaks it, the people around him essentially say, yes, that is true. You're right, Jesus, what you're saying. And when the other man summarizes, Jesus says to him, you're right. That's it. And what is that? He says, the great command, the two great commands that God has given us is that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. That's what you were called to do. If you were to just summarize, what does God require of you as children of the living God, of those who have his name placed upon him, that you call yourself Christian? What is it that God calls you to do? Well, in briefest summary, the word of God is telling us here is to love God with all that is in you and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, as you read the rest of the law, as you read Proverbs and the practical application of the law, there's all little things that will entail. But broadly, what does God call of you, his children, to do? To love him with all that is in you and to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, this is all of the law and the prophets. He's not saying this is something different than the law and prophets. Like you used to in the Old Testament, you had the law and the prophets, but I'm giving you something totally different. We're getting rid of the law, and now we're just going to live by love. That's not what he's saying. He's saying the summary of the law and the prophets, of all the revelation up to that point, of what God requires of his people is to love God and love neighbor. The New Testament just picks that up. So in the apostolic ministry, Paul could say things, the one who, when we love our neighbor, that's the sum of the law. When you've loved one another, you've filled the law. He's not saying now, again, we're getting rid of all of the law in the past, and here's something new. It's just like, no, this is just a summary. Things haven't changed. This is still what God requires of us, to love God and love neighbor. Jesus tells us, if you love me, right, that's the commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus is God. He's the second person of the Trinity. Jesus, in talking to his disciples, goes further and says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So again, there's not a disjunction between love and obedience. Okay, if we love Jesus, do you love Jesus? If you love Jesus, Jesus says, this is how you show it to me. You show it to me by keeping my commandments. Well, what does Jesus command us to do then becomes the question. Well, gives many things for us to do. But the risen Christ, when he gathers his disciples to himself before he gets ready to ascend to the right hand of God, says this in Matthew 20:18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Jesus tells us the two great commandments. This is what God requires of love God and love your neighbor. Then he says, okay, how do you love God? He says, well, if you love me, I am God, you'll keep my commandments. What do I command you to do? I command you to make disciples of all of the nations. How can you make disciples of the nations if you're not sharing the gospel? See how it flows down. Love God. How? Keep his commandments. What does he command us to do? What is the great commission given to the church? To make disciples of all of the nations. Why do we share the gospel first? What is our motive? Love for God. It's not because somebody put us on a guilt trip to go and do it. It's not because we're going to show people that we're smarter than them or better than them. It's not because we want to be cultural warriors and we're going to come out and this is how you do it. Why, bottom line, are you sharing the gospel? Because you love God. And he says, if you love me, you obey me. And he says, this is one of the ways you obey me as the church is to make disciples of the nations. He says, well, I love God. So what do? Well, I'll share the good news that he's given me. It's just a reflexive response of my love for him. I will share the gospel given no real assurance that my evangelistic work will bear fruit. Christ will bring all of his, will come to him. But that doesn't mean I'm going to see a lot of success. We have our house parents for a few years were missionaries to Japan. They spent their entire career as missionaries to Japan. They could count basically under two hands all the converts they've seen in all of the years there. But it wasn't wasted time. The Lord just didn't bless that right then and there. Maybe there'll be a great awakening in Japan someday from the seed sown. So why did they do that all their life? Well, because they love God. And God said, well, if you love me, obey my commands. He said, and I command you to make disciples of all the nations. So they said, okay, we love God, so we will go to Japan and share the gospel. Whether there's great response to it or not, it doesn't matter, because we're not doing it for the response, but we're doing it because we love God. That's why. That's why we're going. That's what motivates us to go. Not so we can be missionary heroes and people could tell stories about us and people could say, you're so wonderful, we're going far away. We're only doing it because we love God. That's why. Why should you share the gospel? Love for God compels you to. How can you say you love God and say, but I won't do this? I won't do this. It's not in my skill set. I'm not comfortable doing this. God says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Love for God is what drives our evangelistic work. But it doesn't stop there. Because again, when Jesus summarizes what God says are the great commandments, he says, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then in the story in Luke, it goes on to the parable of the Good Samaritan, and it gives an example of loving neighbor. So yes, we evangelize because we love God. But also we evangelize, we share the gospel, because it is the great expression of our love for our neighbor. The man in the story in Luke is trying to justify himself. He said, well, love God and love neighbor. Jesus says, yes, go and do this. But he wants an out. Well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus tells him the story of the Good Samaritan. He says, a man is going on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he falls among thieves, and he's beaten, he's left for dead. He says, a priest and a Levite both come, and they don't want to become ceremonially impure by being in contact with a dead body, which this may be. So they just walk offside. Don't even check. Just walk on by. And then a Samaritan. They hated Samaritans. His heart is moved with compassion, and he helps this man at great expense to himself. And Jesus asks the question, well, which of these people, this priest and this Levite or the Samaritan, who was the neighbor, as it were, to this man who was in trouble? And he said, well, the one who showed him mercy, the one who had pity on him. Jesus, you're right. Go and do likewise. And that's what he says to us. We are walking through a world filled with people who are dead in their trespasses and sins. Left in the situation that they are in, they will die in their sins. They will be cast out from the presence of Almighty God for all eternity. All eternity under his wrath and curse. Is that not a worse predicament than to be beaten almost to death? Isn't that a more pitiable position? And yet we, priest-like and Levite-like, say, if I could just cross the street here and not have to deal with the unbelieving guy over here because I don't know what to say and I don't want to do, and frankly, I got other more important things to do. Or do we look upon these people dead in their trespasses and sins, and it breaks our heart, and we have pity on them? We say, though it costs me, it costs effort, it could cost my reputation, it could cost my time, it cost me being mocked and ridiculed. I hope now I can. I'll share the good news. I don't know that they'll accept it or do anything. In the end, God has to bring them to life to do that. But out of love for my neighbor, I will show compassion. Because I'm loving my neighbor as well. If that's what I want somebody to do to me. If they knew I was in such great danger. If I was a heartbeat from hell in the judgment of God, I won't want them to come and tell me. In 1 John, John talks about the love of God and us loving God and God loving us and how we're to love one another. And he says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." John says, we're to love one another. God loved us, so we should love one another. But how did God love us? Now, God does provide for our physical needs. He gives us each day our daily bread. He provides us with food and shelter, all things that we should be thankful for because they were forfeited by our sin. But when God looks at us and has mercy, what does John highlight? God loved us, and his love was manifested how he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God showed us mercy, not in taking care of our problem of poverty or loneliness, but more than that, he sent a Savior to redeem us. But then he goes and says, but we're to love our neighbor the same way. So that entails loving them enough to present the Savior to them, to share the gospel with them. This doesn't mean it's a cop-out to work at a soup kitchen or a homeless shelter. Before I was a minister, I did 4 years of inner-city youth work, and we're involved in all kinds of diaconal ministries and things like that. It's not saying that's not important, but it's saying there's something even more important, that we need to love people enough to show them the Savior. We are called in Scripture continually to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. One of the ways that finds expression in our lives is by sharing the gospel. You see, why share the gospel? Love compels us. That's the great motive, is love. I love God. I love my neighbor. So I go and share the gospel. Change for a second, you think, why, what are bad motives for sharing the gospel? We see this at the chapel sometimes. I share the gospel because I need to prove to people I am intellectually superior to them. They mock Christianity, they are scoffers. They've mocked me. I'm going to show them. I'll go out on the boardwalk, and I will use all the apologetical tools in my toolbox, and I will publicly dismantle them to the mockery of all their friends who are round about watching, and I will walk away the victor. Look at me. Look what I did. You thought I was stupid. You thought we Christians are idiots. Look what I did to them. That's not why you share the gospel. It's not about you vindicating yourself or puffing yourself up. It's not to show the world how brilliant you are and what a great street preacher you are. This is why it drives me crazy when people video themselves street preaching or sharing the gospel or doing evangelism on the thing. They're no longer loving the person and saying, I want this person to come to know the Lord. It's, I'm playing to the audience back home. Look at what I could do to these people. Look at my courage. I will stand on a street corner. I'll do this. Look at the way I could dismantle other people's arguments. Look at the way I silence all the opposition. Look at me. It's not the reason to share the gospel. In fact, if that's your motivation, don't do it at all. It has to be out of love. When I was a military chaplain, a lot of times most of my soldiers didn't want to hear the gospel. Most of them, when chaplains do a religious survey sometimes for the commander, say, here's all the religions that people in your battalion are. Well, in an infantry battalion, you know what they write down as a religious preference? Infantry. Okay, that is my religion. And I don't really want to hear from a chaplain all that much. But I just go out and do things. When we were, after September 11th, we were guarding bridges and tunnels in New Jersey, and then we were guarding the nuclear power plants in New Jersey. And I would show up all the time, and I'd have tracks in one pocket and power bars in the other, and just walk from guard station to guard station to guard station, or drive up and say, here's something for your body and something for your soul. And he said, Chaplain, why are you doing this? I said, because I care about you. Because you are people created in the image of God. And outside of him, you will die. I said, and you might not believe what I'm saying or even appreciate that I'm saying it, but at least appreciate why I'm telling you this. I, honest to goodness, care about you as a human being. And some would just laugh at that or just think that's kind of weird, but over years, it had incredible impact on them. And I told the people at the Boardwalk Chapel again, don't share the gospel to people if you don't love them. It's got to be the motive. It has to be the reason. We're not going to gain scalps, or again, to show that Christianity is superior intellectually to everything else. It has to be purely because I'm telling you this because I love you. Because you're created in God's image, and you matter. And it matters where you spend eternity. And you might reject this message. I can't change your heart left to myself. But out of love for you, for a fellow human being, I can't let you go by without hearing the message. It must be love that compels us. And nothing else. And that's enough. If you love God and you love your neighbor, you will live an evangelistic life. It'll look different with each one of you. You all have different gifts and abilities and opportunities. But it will be seen in your life. For some of you ladies, it might be most of your evangelistic opportunities with your children in the home as you're helping to raise them, or with other people's children, you're having opportunities there. For some of you, it'll be in the workplace. That's a secular workplace, but where you're living as soul and light, and God opens up opportunities to have gospel conversations with people. And because you love them, you share the gospel. Some of you, the Lord might be calling to be vocational evangelists, and he gives you the training and the opportunity to do that as your vocation, to be proclaiming the gospel. It'll look different in each one's life. Some of you will do it very quietly. Some of you will be very bold. But it'll be found in each of your lives. Because you love God. Because you love your neighbor. Love compels evangelism. It's the great motive for evangelism. And when we're not willing to share the gospel with people, we have to question, do I really love God? And do I really love my neighbor? Because God tells me if I love him, I'll obey him. And he tells me part of obedience is doing the work of the Great Commission. And if I love my neighbor, I will have mercy upon him. I will pity him in his situation. I share the gospel with him. The late, great Christian singer back in the 70s, that's a long time ago. Most of you have never seen. So there's a few of you who remember that day, but it's, for some of you, it's a long, long time ago in a galaxy far away kind of thing. But Keith Green was a great, his theology isn't always great, but he has a way with words sometimes. But he asked this question one song. He says, don't you see all the people sinking down? Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you going to let them drown? How can we be so numb not to care if they come? We close our eyes and pretend the job's done. And when we do that, we've stopped loving God and we've stopped loving our neighbor. Don't share the gospel out of a guilt trip. Don't do it out of pride. Do it because I honestly love God and he calls me to this. He calls me to be part of the fulfilling of the Great Commission. And do it because you say, God has given me a heart of love for my neighbor. And as scary and as difficult as it is to share the gospel, I can't do any less. Because I honestly love my neighbor. And motivated by love, share the gospel, the good news of great joy that the Christ has come to save his people from the penalty, power, and presence of sin. Share it, not resting in your own abilities, but trusting the Lord to bless your proclamation of the gospel and bringing people to Himself. And know that you are giving the greatest expression of love. And love for God and neighbor is the fulfilling of the great commandments and the fulfilling of the law. So may love compel you to share the gospel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have told us that the great commandments are to love you with all that is in us and our neighbor as ourself. But as we see the implications of that for our lives, we see that if we love you, we'll keep your commandments, including the commandment to make disciples of the nations. You've shown us also that to love our neighbor, we must have mercy upon them. We cannot be indifferent to their pain and suffering and their plight, especially their spiritual plight. You have shown us in the example that the greatest way we show mercy is the way that you loved us by sending a Savior and drawing us to yourself. So we likewise need to love our neighbors as you have loved us reflexively and to share the gospel with them. Father, we are weak and we are often scared. We are often intimidated. We are often tempted to indifference. May they not stand in the way of the love that you are working in our hearts for you and our neighbor. Father, so inflame our hearts with love for you and neighbor that we cannot keep silent, that it overcomes our fear and motivates us to share the gospel as you give us opportunities to, in our homes, in our communities, in our schools, in our places of work. And as we love you by sharing the gospel, may others come to know you and love you and share the gospel. And thus may your kingdom come, and your name be glorified. In the name of our Lord, we ask this.